Live from the Go Mile High Studios, this is the best damn sports show, period. With your hosts,
Ian McClintock,
Jason Meekum,
Jack Jones,
Estelle Ambrose,
and Tariq Young.
Welcome in to the best damn sports show, period, brought to you by GoMileHigh.com. Hello, everybody. I'm your host, Jack Jones. Here with you today, we got Gould, Tariq, and Estelle, and we're going to have an absolutely fantastic show. I know that we're a little bit caught in the middle of some off seasons of different sports, and we only really got baseball going on right now, but we had a couple stories over the weekend that I think are interesting enough to talk about. One of the biggest ones, Bradley Beal gets traded to the Suns for CP3 and Landry Shamet. Reactions. What's your initial reaction to this?
Bad trade.
On what side?
I just don't think it's gonna work. Like, you got three ball dominant players on the same team, and if I'm being honest, I think the super teams kind of era should be dead in the NBA now, because it just hasn't worked anymore like it used to.
Well, like, I'm sitting here thinking the same thing. Why would the Suns continue to try to go super team after it hasn't worked for them for like years? And you're seeing teams like the Nuggets, you're seeing teams like the Bucks, you're seeing teams like the Heat, who are a dynamic team and a group that works as one, rather than having 3-4 main scores and then a bunch of scrubs. Like, how is that second unit gonna stay afloat?
Yeah, and their downfall really is gonna be having depth on that team, because you can only have so many good role players on the team, because, you know, the luxury tax,
and they're worth some amount of money as well.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Like, nobody wants to get paid cheap, so I don't know. I think it's a bad move, especially because the Suns need depth, and that's where they struggled at in the playoffs, not having any depth.
I mean, yeah, I don't know how you look at how they went out, especially against the Nuggets. Like, they looked at that series loss and was like, you know what we need more of? Ball dominant, mid-range three-point shooters.
We need more scores. We didn't score enough points.
Like, that's what they took out of it. So, and especially, like, what CP3 said afterwards, that it's like, it's Matt and Isaiah running the show, which was interesting. It seems like it's a new owner trying to like do something, but it seems like a really weird, like, as your first move, or like one of your first moves, like your first offseason move, is that
I don't think it fits, Gordon.
And I mean, ESPN posted it on social media that they gave the Suns a D- for their grade, and then they gave whoever they got,
The Wizards.
They give the Wizards a B+.
I think that's an A for the Wizards.
Yeah,
in my book.
That's a good move for the Wizards.
Yeah, they
Wizards,
get to now flip CP3 to.
Well,
here's
the thing. They get a solid role player in Champ, and there might have been picks along with
there
that
was.
Too.
There was like pick swaps.
I don't remember what specifically it was, but you get a good solid player in Landry Shamet, and then you can flip CP3 for a bunch of draft picks or another big player. Like, the Wizards are got to be in full rebuild mode here, and getting that contract of Bradley Beal off your resume, and you're free and you're clean, because he's supposed to get $50 million a year.
His last year has a $57 million player option.
Like
wherever Beal ends up, he's not going to decline that player option.
How are the Suns going to survive this new luxury tax? Like, it doesn't make any sense
to me.
Where
are they getting their players?
You've got Kevin Durant, who is probably should be one of the top paid players in the league.
I mean,
Devin Booker.
They have so much money Devin
Booker
up
might
between
be,
those three.
Devin Booker might be the best shooting guard in the league. And then you've got Bradley Beal, who is arguably one of the best shooting guards in the league. I don't know why you have two shooting guards and then Kevin Durant, and all of a sudden you think this is going to win you a finals.
Well, and then I think I saw somewhere where it was like, They DeAndre Ayton was apparently what, like, the Wizards wanted him, and then the Suns didn't give him up. And I'm like, what about that series made you think, DeAndre Ayton wants to stay a Sun?
Let's average 6 points a game and really poop the bed.
Like,
and
he's your untouchable? Okay.
Well, and it's weird because it seems like he doesn't want to be on the Suns, and that's the other question. How are they going to keep those three guys plus Ayton, who just got paid fat? Like, it really doesn't make any sense to me. Like, oh, Bradley Beal's a big name, cool. I don't know why he went to the Phoenix Suns, though. That doesn't make – like, they traded away one of their best role players again. Like, they're just trading away more depth. It's not like Bradley Beal's going to fix that. Yeah, they didn't learn their lesson
with KD. Like, again, KD, great player. But, like, you traded your bench away. So, you know what you should continue to do? Trade your bench away.
And then you trade away your facilitator. Now you just have three ball-dominant scorers that, sure, they could go out and get you 100 points a night. But – that's it. I mean, who else is going to score?
Defense?
Yeah.
They're not playing
They're
that.
Not good at defense. None of those three guys play defense. I mean, KD kind of does, but...
KD can, but...
But he doesn't choose usually. And Devin Booker and Bradley Beal don't play defense either.
They get outbodied by anyone that they try and guard.
Well, you see, in the Nuggets series, they had Devin Booker on MPJ because, you know, MPJ likes to stand there like a doof. So he didn't have to guard anybody. Like, it's just like these guys don't play defense.
Well, and then, like, Aaron Gordon and Christian Brown locked up KD for the most part.
Well, exactly.
Aaron Gordon did a great job against KD.
Yeah. It's just, like, confusing on how the money's going to work, how the ball play is going to work, if they're even going to win games. Like, it just feels like the Brooklyn Nets all over again.
And who's going to take the minutes? Because are you just going to have them play like 38, 40 minutes
every
night?
Single regular season game? Like,
I mean, we saw with Booker. I mean, he can play an entire game without coming off.
Well, but like, you don't want to do that for 82 straight games. Like, that's a playoff. Everyone plays more in the playoffs. You want to play your 30 minutes a game in the regular season. But with this squad, like, how do you play 30 minutes of each of these guys and win? Like it just, maybe they'll carry you to like a 4 seed again, but you're not going to beat a team like the Nuggets. You're not going to beat a team like the Sacramento Kings. The Sacramento Kings are more of a team than the Suns are.
The Lakers could probably beat them, and that's saying something. The Lakers
could definitely beat them. The Warriors will beat them. I mean, I think the Timberwolves would beat them.
I think Dallas can even beat them.
Yeah, I just think that, like, that screwed him over. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me, and I think we're all agreeing on that. But let's look at the other side of things. Chris Paul got traded to the Wizards. He's obviously not going to stay there. And the reports are coming out that he's going back to the Clippers. I mean,
like, he's in New York currently doing like a press tour. He was on like Good Morning America.
So then does that mean the Clippers are getting rid of Russell Westbrook then? So, like, that move also wouldn't make sense to me because you have Westbrook, George, Kawhi, and CP3, which that doesn't fit a lineup. Like, you can't pay for that either.
No.
I just – these moves don't make sense to me. It feels like they just made moves to make moves with big names.
I mean – Well, go ahead, Tariq.
Russell Westbrook will be a free agent. So
he's going to be a free agent. I didn't know that.
They can do that. They can keep him. I think it's better for them to keep him instead of getting Chris Paul because at the end of the season last year, the way he helped out the team, he helped out a lot, and I think he was a great addition to the team. So I think he's better to go there instead of Chris Paul. So.
Well, yeah, Westbrook really seemed to kind of fit into his role late in the season with the Clippers, and even in the playoffs, you saw him. He didn't need to be the main scorer. He could facilitate again. You saw his assists go up. He was playing great defense. I mean, he seemed to fit extremely well in the Clippers, and I don't know why they'd turn away from him so soon and go to a 38-year-old Chris Paul who gets injured every 3 days. I don't know. I mean, it makes sense why the Wizards didn't want Beal anymore, and obviously they won't keep CP3, but I don't get the CP3 to LA either because then they're going to have to make moves around that. Maybe they're not thinking of keeping Westbrook or George or Kawhi.
I mean, I was going to say, if CP3 does go back to LA, then they're going to have to drop someone in.
One of the four. I mean,
and for me, it was either going to be Westbrook or Kawhi, I think.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, Westbrook you just got, and Kawhi has been injured his whole Clippers career. So it's like, you kind of choose between those guys, but are you really going to be the team to give up Kawhi Leonard? Like, do you want to be that team?
And then someone else picks him up, and then he doesn't get injured, makes playoffs,
yeah,
plays phenomenal, and then...
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, I mean, why would you keep two point guards at that point either? I mean, Westbrook has a role as a starter. I don't know why you'd want him to come off the bench. You're not the Lakers, and he's having the yips. So... I don't really know. A little bit of confusion in the NBA there, for
I
sure.
Saw an interesting thing where it's, I don't know if the money can work or whatnot, but CP3 to the Nuggets, have him play backup point guard because like, if Bruce leaves, he's an old man, like we're saying, but he has that leadership, like the veteran leadership.
Yeah.
Just come off the bench, like...
if CP3
play that Bruce Brown role.
If CP3 wants to come off the bench for the Nuggets, I think that would be cool.
If he's ring chasing, it's like a good move for him to make.
There's no way he will do that. He has to be a starter somewhere, and
he wants to be a starter.
Yeah. I think he's gonna go to the Lakers.
You think so?
I think he's gonna go to the Lakers.
Why do you think that?
First of all, LeBron's one of his best friends, and
true, they got the banana boat.
And I think he feels like his best chance is to go play with them, especially because they don't have a bad roster. I know they're trying to get Austin Reeves back and Rui Hachimura back. So I think at this point he's just like, maybe the best idea is to go play with Bron.
Yeah, I mean, they've never done it in their career. They seem like the best of friends. I don't know. I think it would be another failure in L.A., but that's just me. It seems like they had something good going for them at the end of the year, and I don't think they should change much. I know that last series against the Nuggets was very revealing, but you made it to the Western Conference Finals. I don't know why people are saying get rid of all these guys. Like, yeah. You have a solid squad.
Give them some time to, like, build the chemistry in the regular season.
For sure. I mean, give them a full season, and they might take a step past. They were literally a team for, you know, 30, 40 games a year. So I don't really know. I think that would be very interesting. It sounds like both LAs are in the picture for CP3. But finally, the Nuggets beat the Miami Heat in the finals. So Adam Silver decided we should talk about John Morant. The suspension came out. And I'll say it's interesting. Very, very interesting. We're going to talk about that next.
College radio for sports, movies, and games. Run by students, for students, and more.
Let's see what they can do here from the five.
Sports news, live games, and discussions about just about everything.
Disney turning their rides in their parks into movies.
So close, so many times, and to have that snatched away.
Come and join us every day for your favorite shows, only at GoMileHigh.com.
If it's great radio you're looking for, then you're in the right place. Because at GoMileHigh.com, we have tons of shows discussing sports, news, politics, entertainment, community affairs, and much, much more. And don't forget, if you miss out on one of your favorite shows, you can always access our archived episodes at GoMileHigh.com on your own time.
If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time?
So I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama. What? You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, race, bald, striking, really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing. Oh. See, the Lama's a big hitter, nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
This is the best damn sports show, period.
Reeves holding. James comes out of the pack. James on the drive, goes inside, stop, shot block, gets it back. It's over! It's over! Denver makes history. The Nuggets are going to the NBA Finals for the first time in franchise history.
Brought to you by GoMileHigh.com.
I absolutely will never get over that moment of my life.
I mean, we got to update it to NBA champs.
We do got to update it to NBA champs.
We
got to
update that now.
That'll be coming soon for you guys. By the way, you're listening to the best damn sports show, period, brought to you by GoMileHigh.com. Again, I'm Jack Jones here with you, and I'm here with all my friends. We're having a good time. but yeah, that top-tier moment, them going to the finals. I need the final call of them actually winning it. That would be pretty sweet. We'll have to update that for you guys. But next, we're talking Ja Morant. It took like a couple weeks, but...
Well, it's from the beginning of the finals when Adam Silver had his press conference to one day after the parade.
One day, yeah. They let them have their fun, let them have their party. And now let's get to business. Ja Morant suspended 25 games. Comes as a little bit of a surprise to some people. Definitely came as a surprise to me. I don't know. I want to hear your guys' thoughts.
It sounds like there's also conditions. I don't know if the conditions have come out, but he has to, like, I'm assuming, like, go to therapy or something, or like an anger management
community
class.
That's what they said last time, and he went for like 2 days.
But I think it's like it's a condition where he has to go back, because I know the Players Association is like going at the NBA for that. They're like, that's a little harsh. Like, the 25 games, okay. But all the extra stuff, that's a little harsh. But we'll see.
I don't know if
and then
it's
you had
too harsh.
Jaws Camp come out and be like, it was a toy gun the whole time. And everyone's like, what?
Dude, you're already so deep in it. Like, you're really going to try that? Oh, sorry. Because I had one for so long, I just bought a toy instead so it wouldn't be real. Nobody can tell the difference, dude. Yeah. Like, I honestly thought it was too short. I thought he deserved to be suspended more games. For a while, it was coming out these reports that were, oh, it's looking like half the season, 50 games, 45 games. That's all the reports I heard, like 40 to 50 games. And it comes out and it's 25. It's still a good chunk of games, I will say. But, I mean, he's got to be on the shortest leash of all time from Adam Silver.
But because what, 25 games, that's at least until around Christmas time?
Yeah, I would say maybe a little bit before, but end of November, December time. Yeah, I would say.
But
it's probably that or like January. Or something.
It's around that time period. But I agree with Jack. I think I was expecting a little bit more. I was thinking about maybe 40 to 50 games.
Yeah,
even.
I agree. That's what everyone was saying.
And now, if Stern was in charge, maybe it was probably.
Yeah, maybe.
That's a different NBA.
Now, and I see people on Twitter saying, oh, he should be suspended for the entire season. I'm thinking, you guys are ridiculous thinking an entire season is worth that much. I mean, I can see an argument, but it's not an entire season.
I don't think an entire season. I think half of a season.
Half a
was.
Season.
If you take him out for half of it, really get him to learn his lesson, take him away from the game he loves, the job he loves, the money he's getting. I mean, really put it to him, but instead it's about a fourth of the season, which is still a good chunk of change. But, I mean, what does the future look like for Ja Morant? Do you think there's any chance the Grizzlies will want to move away from him?
I don't think so. I mean, I think he really did get a light sentence, but at the same time, I feel like the NBA knew what they were doing because he's missing 25 games. So he only gets to play 57 games, I believe.
Well, which makes him ineligible for any
award. That's my favorite thing is he still can't make it all
of the
NBA team.
So he'll be missing out on a lot of money. So that's why they're probably like, oh, we'll give him 25 games, so he can't be considered for any all-NBA awards. So
he'll lose out. Well, and the thing is he's in his prime. I mean, he's in his young career. He's at least coming up to his prime if he's not already in it. And this could be a year where he could really explode and maybe go out for an MVP type of season, all NBA first, second, third team, something around there, but now you don't have the chance. You have to sit and watch your team for the first 25 games, and I hope it teaches him a lesson. That's really what I hope, because I really like Ja Morant. I mean, it's tough to like him right now, but I love watching him play basketball.
Yeah, I mean, before all the incidents last season here in Denver, I love Ja Morant. Yeah. He's a great player, but I agree. I think he's on a very, very tight leash right now. And, I mean, I can't imagine what's going on with, like, the Grizzlies organizations and the backroom staff, because they're telling him, look, this is not a good look on our organization. This is not who we are. And if you want to be acting like that, then you can go somewhere else other than Memphis. That's not who we are.
Well, I could see it, too, if it continues into this season. I think they probably will stay with him for now just because of his pure talent. I mean, how do you give up on a generational talent like Ja Morant? But at the same time, if it continues, you could totally see him on a different team. And I wonder if this will affect his game at all, if he won't average the same clip, or maybe it'll inspire him to work hard and get better. I mean, it's really an interesting situation.
I wonder what will happen with All-Star. Like,
yeah,
true. With All-Star selections, whether he'll get into the fan-voted version.
He
and
won't.
If the NBA will be like, let's fudge those numbers.
I don't think he'll make it.
Fans are not too high on him right now. Like,
and then, like, will the – I think it's GMs who chooses the reserve, or, like, I think they – or coaches. It's one of them. And I wonder if they'll, like, even choose him for anything.
Well, and what you have to think about, too, is, like – there's a lot of fans that are adults, and a lot of adult fans have kids. And, you know, a lot of those kids, this is their perfect time for Ja Morant to be their idol, their favorite basketball player in the world. And now parents are looking at their kids and saying, no, we don't want that guy. He doesn't do good things. He does things that are, you know, not good for his job, for him. He's not setting a good example, and he's going to lose fans because of it. And it was right when his shoe came out. I don't know. I would love to see how his shoe did, but
it
sounds
like they're going to keep, like, Nike is keeping on the shoe daily.
Really?
He is suspended,
really?
Is what I saw.
Interesting. I mean, I'm kind of curious how that is going. Like, I wonder if there was a downfall in his sales at all, or if people.
Oh, no. His shoe sold out.
It did?
Yeah.
It did?
This one of his shoes that had came out recently sold out. But
really?
I think the biggest question is, during that 25 games while he's gone, how does Memphis play, though? That's the big question.
In the past, we've seen
they've played way better without Ja Morant.
They played really well without Ja. Or they have in the past, at least. So, honestly, I'm not too worried about the Grizzlies themselves. I think if they were to lose Ja overall, there would definitely be some things to consider. But they're a team that also has a really solid team. They're not a super team, but they have good role players, and they have a young team, one of the probably the best young team in the league. And then this happens. I mean, this happens on young teams all the time. We've seen it with, like, J.R. Smith's, you know, on that Nug Life team, and different guys in the past. I mean, even we saw it in Kobe Bryant's early career, stuff like that. So it'll just be interesting to see how this all plays out, if Ja will turn his career around, or if he'll continue to mess up and maybe lose a chance in his career. I don't know. I mean, I'm pulling for Ja Morant for sure, but I think we're gonna switch things up right here real quick, and we're gonna talk about maybe the best baseball player to ever touch a baseball field, and that would be Shohei Ohtani.
Yes.
I mean, he had a great year last year, but
he's even having a better year
now. He's having a better year this year. Right now, he's pitched 82 innings with a 3.29 ERA and 105 strikeouts. The 105 strikeouts are fourth in the league. And on all of those places, he is first on his team. And he's also hitting .300 with 24 home runs and 58 RBIs. He's leading the league in home runs and RBIs, and he's leading his team in all those categories, including the batting average. And there's a couple more stats that he's leading his team in. And his team still sucks. But is Shohei Ohtani, like, the best player we've ever seen play baseball?
I mean, before the season started, Jack, we did a few predictions, and I picked him to be my AL player MVP.
I think I did, too.
And there's a reason,
it's
because
it's hard to pick against him. He does it all.
He does everything so perfectly. And just the fact that he plays with the Angels also, I mean, that – downgrades it a little bit to some MLB fans, but I mean, I don't know how you can deny that he's the best player right now.
I mean, even looking through my Instagram, the Rockies versus Angels series keeps popping up as an ad, and I haven't seen Rockies ads all year. And it's like they're really boosting this series because they know people want to watch him play.
They want to watch him play.
Like, I'm considering going because I want to see Shohei Ohtani play. Think about this. You're having a bad day at the plate. The pitcher's dominating you. And then next inning, he comes up to bat and hits a 450-foot home run and takes the lead on your team. Like, you see that in Little League coming up and even in high school. But we've never seen this in the MLB. The last time it happened was Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth. It's like the comparing Jokic to the Chamberlain stats. That's what Ohtani is for baseball. He's doing these unbelievable things that we thought were unbreakable records, things that we'd never see, and he's doing it all. A guy that throws 100 miles per hour on one side and then hits it back at you at 150 miles per hour and hits it 100 feet past the wall in the outfield. I mean, it's crazy. But the main thing I want to talk about is he only signed a one-year deal with the Angels. Do we think he should move on this
offseason? Oh, yeah, he's
leaving. He's got to be, right?
Yeah, he's definitely. I mean, because so I haven't checked the standings in a while, but right now they actually hold a wild card spot, and they're 41 and 33, so definitely a playoff team to keep an eye on. But, I mean,
finally, the combo of Trout and Ohtani works.
Yes, but
it only took a couple years.
I definitely think that he will be moving on to a bigger market team. But, I mean,
I think he's going to the Mariners. I fully do.
Yeah, because
Seattle, that's a good move. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that would be the perfect fit for him, too. I've been saying it for like 2 years now. He needs to go to the Mariners because they are a solid squad that could probably take him on and would be a championship contender after that. I want to continue this conversation on the other side. This is the Best Damn Sports Show, period, brought to you by Go Mile High. I'm Jack Jones. We'll talk to you in a sec.
Hey Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing!
Go Mile High, your college radio for sports, movies, and games. Run by students, for students, and more.
Let's see what they can do here from the five.
Sports news, live games, and discussions about just about everything.
Disney turning their rides and their parks into movies.
So close, so many times, and to have that snatched away.
Come and join us every day for your favorite shows, only at GoMileHigh.com.
If it's great radio you're looking for, then you're in the right place. Because at GoMileHigh.com, we have tons of shows discussing sports, news, politics, entertainment, community affairs, and much, much more.
Awesome! Tons of awesome!
And don't forget, if you miss out on one of your favorite shows, you can always access our archived episodes at GoMileHigh.com on your own time.
If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time?
So I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy-dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, grace, bald, striking, really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama. They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
In case you didn't know, you're listening to the best damn sports show, period.
Oh, God! Stokely down the sideline! Can they catch him? Stokely! Touchdown!
This is the best damn sports show, period, brought to you by GoMileHigh.com. You're back here with Jack Jones, and we're going to continue this talk about Shohei Ohtani and where we think a best fit for him. Before the break, we were talking about, you know, the Seattle Mariners. We think that would be a fantastic fit for him because his games still get broadcasted in Japan. It fits his market very well.
Yeah, West Coast.
What are some other teams that you think he would fit well on, even if it doesn't fit that West Coast, you know, still broadcasting in Japan? Just as an overview, what other fits you think Shohei Ohtani could fit in?
I think that he's honestly, just because it's so difficult with baseball because all the money that's guaranteed that you
I know.
I feel like if anybody's going to try to get him, like we said already, it'll be the Dodgers or the Yankees.
Because you know the Yankees got, will try and throw out an offer.
The
Dodgers, Yankees, Red Sox, yes. All those, maybe even like a Chicago Cubs, like or the Padres.
I think the Padres would throw out a very good offer.
I think they would too, just because they have Yu Darvish as well on their team, along with, I forgot the other guy on their team that's from Japan, but they've got a couple guys already. It would fit the vibe of Japan. Plus, that team is already stacked. I mean, that would just be unfair. I don't know how they could fit it with their money, but Padres was another team I was thinking of. I mean, of course, the Dodgers too, just because of that West Coast, but I would hate to see that so much. Like, hate to see that. Hate.
I think the Diamondbacks would be interesting. They're like, they've had a decent year this year.
Surprisingly.
Good
year. I mean, they're first place in the NL West.
And it's like, and it's
they've
not
been
a
there.
Fluke.
They've
it's
been
not
there
fluke.
Consistently.
Yeah.
It's not like it's the first week of the season.
Well, that's what we thought at first. Yeah. It's like, oh, they'll die off and join the Rockies at some point. They haven't at all.
So, like, if he wants to stay, like, relatively unknown, like, the Angels aren't the big market that is the Dodgers.
Yeah.
So, if he wants to stay in that same, like, vein, I can see the Diamondbacks, like, they probably could put a good offer up there. I don't know their money situation, but if he wants to stay West Coast side, it's still a nice place. Get a nice place down there. It's probably cheaper to live.
Probably. And, I mean, it's still close to that West Coast, true.
And
it's
sunny. A place that's relative, not in the West Coast, but in the Midwest, St. Louis. Oh, I can see St. Yeah. Louis throwing out an offer.
That's a very interesting one.
Because that's a baseball market.
I wouldn't usually fit him in a St. Louis vibe, but it could totally happen.
It could work.
It's just hard to imagine him on a team other than the Angels. But he's got to move on here soon.
I think he should.
If he has championship aspirations. No, absolutely not. But let's head over to the AL. And specifically, we're going to talk about the AL East. Right now in the AL East, I'll lay out the division for you. Tampa Bay, 51-24, best team in baseball. Behind them, Baltimore, 44-27. The Yankees are 39-33. The Blue Jays are 39-34. And the poor Red Sox in last place are 37-35. They are two games above 500. Now let's look at the AL Central. Minnesota in first place at 36-36. Cleveland in second at 33-38. Detroit, 30-40, White Sox 31-42, Kansas City at a tough 19-52. So it's just weird how both these divisions, like, they're both in the same half of the AL, but they're so widely different. On one hand, we have one of maybe like the best division, most competitive divisions we've ever seen in baseball, and then one of the worst divisions we've maybe ever seen in baseball, or at least at the moment, they're the best division and the worst division in baseball. Like, it just gets so two-sided. And the poor Red Sox, Gordon.
What do you mean, poor Red Sox?
37-35 and you're in last place? That must stink.
It doesn't stink because, first off, just came off sweeping the Yankees.
Hey, who won a series against the Red Sox?
That's not important
team,
right now.
A team from the Mile High City that wears purple and black? They beat a good team.
And the Red Sox are only 2 games behind on a wild card spot right now, as for the Rockies are 11 games behind.
I think that just shows how weird like MLB like playoff seeding is they are – could be first if they were just in a different division.
But I also just want to point out that the AL East is probably the toughest division in MLB right now because
they have a really hot market, all the teams.
Yeah, and because obviously Tampa Bay, first place, they're going to clinch that.
Except Tampa Bay doesn't have a
They're going to clinch that division. They're going to clinch the AL. But Baltimore, top of the wild card spot. Then you have the Yankees who hold a wild card spot. Toronto's a half game behind, and the Red Sox who are just 2 games behind.
It's just got to be one of the most.
We could potentially have an all AL East playoffs.
Oh, and that's what people were saying about the AFC West in football, and then we know how that turned
out. Yeah, we know how that worked
out. And then
we
actually see this, and it's happening. And I mean, has it ever happened where it was one division that fully had all the wild card spots?
I don't think so.
Maybe when it was like
maybe
in way like
back
maybe 1903,
back in the good
years.
Old days.
back in my days, son. You know, but I mean, if you just think about it, though, they drop into the AL Central, and they're the Kings. They're on top. I mean,
yeah.
I know they're only up 2 games, but they would still be in first place. They would be solidified in a playoff spot rather than 2.5 games out. But as a Red Sox fan, Gordon, you're telling me. You're not upset about this?
I mean, obviously, being in last place, not a good look. But, I mean, when you're in a hunt for a wild card spot, playoffs, that's better than anything right now.
Yeah, I mean...
Knowing the season that we've had, obviously, the Rockies losing that series. that one just sucks
so much. That one
must
have hurt the heart so bad because the Rockies stink.
But then just going the next series and sweeping the Yankees just... puts the cherry on top.
This could make like for a very fun end of the year.
Oh, it's
like,
gonna totally.
The last like 2 weeks
race
of the season
for the playoffs
will be
is gonna be so
wild.
Much fun.
Think about it, like right around that September, October time when football's starting up again, basketball starting up again, hockey starting up again, and we have a very exciting playoff run with literally just the AL East by itself.
Like everyone fighting for
whoever,
that last spot.
Whoever comes out of the AL East is winning it all. But there's 5 teams. I mean, the sad part is, Gordon, I hate to keep doing this to you, but the Rockies almost have lost 50 games. I mean, you almost got... Did they sweep the Red Sox?
No.
They just won the series?
They won the series.
Hey, a win is a win, baby. I think that was the last win they had, actually.
Because they got swept by the Braves, and they're currently down to the Reds right now.
Yeah, the Reds are kind of putting them too, and I think tonight's Joey Votto's debut. So that's never a fun night to play the Reds.
I just also want to keep talking about the MLB right now, and I mean, a surprise team, the Texas Rangers.
The Texas Rangers. Now, we talk about the Tampa Bay Rays and how they're the best team in baseball. I actually think that the Texas Rangers are the best team in baseball. I mean, I know record-wise it doesn't match up, but this team is dominating.
I mean, this has been a team that has been so bad in that division, and Houston's just dominated.
So bad.
But, I mean, they're 44-27 right now.
Well, yeah, and if you look at their roster, you would be confused on why they didn't have a good team before. I mean, first of all, another sad point for you. Evaldi having a fantastic year. Like, oh my God. Yeah. And even without Jacob deGrom in there, they're dominating. Another sad point for all of us. John Gray, great, having a great season. We're finally seeing he's 6-2 with a 2.96 ERA. Why couldn't have you done it in Colorado? Why does everyone have to leave and be good? I don't get it. And then they have Corey Seager. They have Marcus Semien, who was up for MVP just a couple seasons ago with the Blue Jays. I mean, they've got a super, super solid squad. They've been one of the most fun teams to watch by far this year. And who would have expected it? I mean, they came out of nowhere. They were horrible last year. And I mean horrible, like one of the worst teams in the league.
They spent some good money.
They definitely did. Good money.
I mean, last season they finished 68-94.
And right now they have one of the best records in baseball. I mean, they literally have
the second best record in the AL.
They have the third best record in the league overall. So it's kind of like the Sacramento Kings story, you know, how you could turn your team around in one season. I mean, they didn't make a bunch of huge acquisitions this offseason except for DeGrom. And DeGrom's not even playing for them, and they're doing just fine. They literally have like the same team from last year. They're just playing to what they should have been playing to. I mean, it's just kind of wild to me how this all turned out for the Texas Rangers.
And I like to see it because the Rangers, you know, before these past few seasons where they've just been on the downside, they've been a playoff contending team every season. Mm-hmm. I think it was roughly around, I think 2016 or 17 is when they started going down the hill. But before then, they were always the top team in Texas before Houston started winning everything. Mm-hmm.
And you want to know about another surprise team to me? The Miami Marlins have the third best record in the NL. They are 41-31.
That's also a tough division.
Did you even know that? I didn't until I was just looking right now. I mean, I know they have the former Cy Young winner and the best hitter average-wise in the league, but I didn't really know much more about him. And Jazz, of course, but they're having a fantastic season too. We're seeing some new, fresh teams emerge out of nowhere, and it's nice to see.
The trash eaters.
Well, the Marlins have a better record than the Phillies right now. The losing champs, the Phillies, the NL champs, are 38-34. Not a horrible record, but and then even below them, The Mets, 33-38, having an atrocious season after spending the most money out of any team, literally
in the league.
I know they spent all of their money, and they're 33-38.
And then their pitcher gets injured on international play.
Well, exactly, and I mean, yeah, they have Scherzer and Verlander, and these guys can't seem to stay in the game. I don't know. The MLB has been absolutely kind of wild this year, and I'm excited to get deeper into it this summer.
After All-Star break, hold on, because it's going to get crazy.
Oh, we're about to have the most amazing second half of the year ever just because we're coming off a championship, baby, and we're looking for more for both our teams, and hopefully the Broncos can turn it around too. Speaking about the Broncos, we're actually going to talk about them next. I know it's been a while, but we're going to chat about them. This is the Best Damn Sports Show, period. We'll be right back.
Billy, want to go to the state fair?
Yeah!
Well, you can't. Well, you see, Billy, when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have done with it. But now your parents are becoming energy efficient. They can save hundreds of dollars a year and take you to the fair next year.
I want to go now!
Aw, I know you do. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Jill, why don't you tell the class what you did this weekend?
Well, my dad and I went in search of some magical minnows and found a zillion of them in the stream from our lookout rock. Then my sister and I escaped from an evil slug king and went back to my super twig fort for safety. Then we told stories till it got dark and the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Where were you, Jill?
We went to the forest. It's not that far away.
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I'm working two jobs, and my husband works too. My kids go to school with your kids. I'm one out of every six Americans, and my family is struggling with hunger. I believe in this country, but it's hard to believe so many Americans have to choose between paying bills and feeding families. Visit feedingamerica.org and find your local food bank. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for those struggling with hunger. Together, we're Feeding America. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
While cutting molding with a 12-inch dual compound miter saw, while holding a newborn baby in your arms, when face-to-face with a congregation of alligators, with the ball in your hands and the entire freaking season on the line, while juggling chains, there are a million places you would never consider texting. So why would you do it while driving? Please stop the texts, and together, we can stop the wrecks. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway and Traffic Safety Administration. Get the message at stoptextstoprex.org.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human is pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it, but he just throws it. Again! I gotta say though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human. A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Go Mile High, your college radio for sports, movies, and games. Run by students, for students, and more.
Let's see what they can do here from the five.
Sports news, live games, and discussions about just about everything.
Disney turning their rides in their parks into movies.
So close, so many times, and to have that snatched away.
Come join us every day for your favorite shows, only at GoMileHigh.com.
You're listening to the best damn sports show, period.
Jokic in the pile. Here it goes. Got it! Got it!
Welcome back to our final segment of the best damn sports show, period, brought to you by GoMileHigh.com. Unfortunately, over the break, we lost Gordon. I don't know where he went. He's just not here anymore.
Just died. He's not dead. That's sad to joke about.
Yeah, no, he's not dead. He just decided he was done, I guess. Anyways, I'm Jack Jones here with Estelle, Tariq, and hopefully Gordon at some point. We're going to get into some Broncos talk. The preseason, like right into summer, top 100 rankings came out. And there's only one Bronco on that list. We could all guess it's Patrick Surtain. He's ranked 19th overall, and I'm gonna read a couple players to you that honestly I think that Surtain has a chance of going over, but I want to hear your guys' opinions on him. Do we think that Pat Surtain is better than Chris Jones?
Definitely.
Do we think that Pat Surtain is better than Jalen Ramsey right now?
Definitely.
Do we think that Pat Surtain is better than Sauce Gardner?
I think debatable. It's pretty equal. I think they're pretty
equal.
Do
you think that Pat Surtain is better than Jamar Chase?
Oh.
No way. He doesn't score touchdowns.
Or Devontae Adams, they both kind of get him there. What about Lane Johnson?
Lane Johnson's a dog. I'm not even going to lie. For him, I think he's one of the best offensive linemen in the league right now.
See, I agree with you. I think that he totally is. I think he's deservingly actually should be ranked higher.
I think at least Surtain should be top 10 at least.
Well, I mean, I think Surtain tops Ramsey right now.
Yeah.
And Jones right now, but maybe it's a biased Broncos fan. I mean, Tyreek Hill beats him. Sauce Gardner, you could put him right next to each other.
They're both of them are equal, but
yeah, Jamar Chase obviously beats him. Devontae Adams and Lane Johnson beat him. And then that top 10 beats him with, you know, T.J. Watt, Trent Williams, and we'll get down to that top five in just a little bit. But do you guys think there's any other Broncos, especially like any of our new acquisitions, that deserve to be on this top 100 list? Because there's not a single other one on the entire top 100.
I think Justin Simmons needs to be on.
Yeah.
I think he gets – every year no one gives him his respect. Like, he had a league high with a couple other guys of 6 interceptions last year, and he didn't play all of the season.
No, he played, what, 13 games, 14 games?
Yeah, he missed enough games. So I think it's time for the league and a lot of these media outlets to start giving him his respect.
We look at some of the safeties on here. You think Micah Hyde deserves to be over Simmons?
No.
Well, Micah Hyde is 73.
73.
Yeah, do you think Tyrann Mathieu?
In my opinion, Tyrann Mathieu is not the player he used to be.
No, I mean, back in his day, yeah, put him on this list. But 81, and Simmons isn't even touching it. Like, how – I don't understand how you – I think he gets so underrated. He's been the best or one of the best safeties in the league for the past 4 or 5 years, getting turnovers, great on coverage. He really doesn't get burned that much. I just don't understand why people aren't giving him his respect. I know the Broncos have been kind of bad the past couple of years, but Pat Surtain enters the league and instantaneously is this top 20 player. You think Harrison Smith is better than Justin Simmons?
Harrison Smith is on his way out of the league.
He's number – and what about Kevin – I think it's Byard. on the Titans.
Kevin Byard's good, but I don't think he's better than Justin
Those
Simmons.
Those two guys were 97 and 100.
I don't think any of the safeties you just named are better than Justin Simmons.
You think that Patrick Peterson, like, there's a couple guys on this list where I'm like, how is Simmons not over them? And, like, also are the offensive linemen that the Broncos signed, McGlinchey, how's McGlinchey not on the, at least the top 100? I wouldn't say he's top 20, even top 50. But you can't put him in the 70-80 range. Ben Powers, not in the 70-80 range. It's just, I feel like the Broncos, because of the horrible season they had going 5-12, they're getting a couple of their players, maybe not the team, a couple of their players are getting a little underrated, especially the new acquisitions that they got. I just don't understand how a guy like Justin Simmons isn't on this list, one of the best dang safeties in the league.
I think it's really biased when it comes to who makes these lists, because I think another guy that should be on there too is Alex Singleton. Like, yeah, he was the team leader in tackles last year, and played phenomenal.
Well, he was top 10 in the league in tackles. I mean, he played fantastic. It doesn't make sense to me how a guy like that wouldn't just sneak in that 100 spot, you know? Like, Shaq Barrett had a horrible season last year. He's number 98. How could you not put – I know Singleton isn't as big of a name, but this list isn't about names. It's about the 100 best players. It's what I hate about these lists all the time. It's like, oh, we got to put him on here because he's got a name. Tyrann Mathieu. He shouldn't even be touching the top 100. He's not a top 100 player in the league. Justin Simmons, he is a top 100 player in the league. Tyrann Mathieu's getting old. He's getting slower. He's not as talked about anymore. They just put him on this list because he's a name. It's frustrating, but at the same time, I understand it because the Broncos were ass. Last year. Whoops.
Watch out there, Jack. Getting a little too close there.
It's okay. I really think this is the year the Broncos really bounce back and get better as a team.
What Gordon and I have talked a lot about this. As long as they're playing meaningful games in December.
If we can chase for a wild card spot the entire season, then I think I'm cool with that. Like if we don't get it at the end, I'm fine with that.
If the Broncos can really deep down play meaningful games, be around that 500 mark, just improve by, you know, 4 or 5 wins.
If it can please just beat the Chiefs for once.
For once! It's been 7 years!
They gotta beat the Raiders too. Cause
I know.
And we have to beat
them. I mean, for some reason they can beat the Chargers every year, but they can't beat the Raiders or the Chiefs. It's just...
Week 1 and Week 17, they have a chance.
I know, they do. And, I think the Broncos are going a little under the radar this year. I do think they're going to improve. I'm not saying they're a Super Bowl team. I'm not even saying they're winning the division. I don't think they're going to win the division as long as Patrick Mahomes is a part of this division. But just try and be a wild card team. I mean, Russ is slimming up.
Saw the slides that he was doing, the squat slides.
A little breaking news. And Joey Votto, we were just talking about him, how it's his debut back.
He just hit a home run.
And he just hit a bomb. Rockies down 3-1. It's just our life story, the Rockies' life story. But I want to move on a little bit. Is it frustrating how underrated the Broncos are being? But let's talk about the recent success of Colorado. I know it was 7 years ago, but the Broncos did win a Super Bowl in the past decade. The Avs won the Stanley Cup last season, projected to win again this year. They're one of the favorites. And the Nuggets, fresh off that shiny gold Larry O'Brien, favorites in the next season.
Can't forget about the Mammoth also.
And the Mammoth too. Did they end up winning this year? Yeah, so
they made it to the finals, though.
They won last year, made it back to the finals this year, ended up losing.
You know what? I'll even throw in Denver University. They won the hockey championship last season.
Yep, and they went pretty far this year. Unfortunately, had a pretty disappointing upset late in the tournament. But let's talk about another Colorado dub. Wyndham Clark wins the U.S. Open. Before this weekend, did you know who Wyndham Clark was? And did you even know he was from Colorado?
No idea.
Wyndham Clark, he used to go to Valor High School.
Yuck.
Where he was good friends with no other than Christian McCaffrey, our Colorado's finest. You know, I think Coloradans take a lot of pride that he went to Valor. But Wyndham Clark beat one of the greatest of all time in Rory McIlroy. Gets 10 under, wins his first major championship, he won his second PGA tournament. 7 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, he won his first. And now he is a U.S. Open major champion.
That's just incredible.
How special is it to see?
That's awesome because, I mean, when have we ever seen someone from Colorado perform that well at a PGA Tour?
Well, and Colorado golfers, I mean, I know there's been a few.
There's a few, but they're
not a big deal. Guys that golf well, Arizona, California, these places that are warm and sunny all year. When you're golfing in Colorado, you can't golf outside all year.
And the altitude also.
The ball goes farther.
Yeah.
Like you can't have the correct yardages in Colorado that you would have in
That's why there's not that many tournaments held in Colorado.
No, it's just not fair because these PGA guys would crush it.
Yeah.
They would crush it. There
would probably be a few hole-in-ones.
Yeah. And so we know in past years looking kind of at the PGA Tour, there's a lot of usually it's a lower scoring match. So like in some tournaments, we'll see guys get 17 under throughout the weekend. U.S. Open's usually about a 5 under, but we saw him win at a 10 under. And we saw two guys, Ricky Fowler and Xander Schauffele, break records, shooting 62s in a round, which has never been done at the U.S. Open.
That's awesome.
This was the first year they did it at the L.A. Country Club. And they're going back again in 2039. Did you get to watch it all or see the course at all, Gordon?
Not a whole lot, but I mean, I started watching a few highlight clips, and I mean, I'm also trying to get back into golf.
Me too.
And I'm trying to watch a lot more, but I mean, just Wyndham, that's awesome for Wyndham Clark.
It definitely is, and going back to Colorado's success. So
do we get another parade?
Only for Wyndham Clark. Let's get him out on his own fire truck, get 800,000 people out there and cheer him on for winning the U.S. Open.
Yeah. I mean, I'm down.
I'm down too. But
if it was like a week earlier, he probably could have joined the parade.
I mean,
probably.
The championship fever is real here in Denver. Everybody's catching it. I mean, this city just can't stop winning.
Take that, Boston.
A question to pose to you to kind of close out our show. Is Denver becoming, or maybe is, one of the best sports towns in America? Because they've gone under the radar for a long time.
I mean, they're definitely a sports city now because of the Nuggets. Because before then, it was just the Nuggets Broncos. The Nuggets
kind of completed it.
It was just Broncos and Avalanche. But the Nuggets completed. Denver is a sports town now.
Well, and even with the Mammoth, too. I mean, they're winning. You have DU, the hockey team. There's lots of good sports up and coming in Colorado, and we're seeing younger people from Colorado coming into these sports as well. More athletes. You got Dion coming to see you this year.
Oh.
You got CSU with one of the best football recruiting classes in the Mountain West. I think they had the best recruiting class in the Mountain West. It's exciting here in Colorado. Estelle, go ahead.
Since 1996, so that's when the Avs moved here.
Yep.
The only city to have more championships in the time frame is Boston, and that's only because of Tom Brady's 7 there.
I'll give you a high five for that.
I hate Massachusetts, Tom Brady. Technically. But yeah, because you have 6 between the Broncos and the Avs,
yep.
And then you have the 1 from the Nuggets in terms 7. Of major 4.
Oh, so yeah, I guess that's true.
Them and then
Boston has what, like 15 or something?
Well, they have a Stanley Cup.
They have the 7 from Tom. They have 3 or 4 from the Red Sox.
And they have one Stanley Cup from there.
Yep, well, and, yeah, Boston dominating.
But other than that, like, number 2 is
well, and I feel like halves, people, or
Denver.
I feel like people don't realize like how much Denver is winning. I mean, we saw it with the Nuggets in their playoff run. They didn't get talked about. We even saw it with the Avalanche last year. Like during
they
the
were
finals,
boring.
I was aggravated because all they were talking about was a three-peat. Three-peat, 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 three-peat. And I was like, nobody's beating this team. I've never watched hockey before this, and I know that nobody – like that was a magical run. And then the Nuggets followed up with another magical dominating run. Oh, it's so boring to watch these teams. Well, be better. Get better. I'm sorry both of our squads
both
went
of them have
16
no
and
drama.
4. No drama. They're an absolute family of a team.
Have fun together.
They both only lost 4 games in all of the playoffs and just dominated. Like, nobody was up to par with either of these teams in the playoffs. I'm sorry it's boring. Get better. Be a better team. Give us some better competition because Denver is dominating in 2 sports right now.
Rockies, wake up.
Rockies, join the club. You had your chance in 2007. Well, it's hard because I feel like we're going to have to wait another 20 years before it happens again. It's like
30.
It's like an eclipse, you know? It only happens like you know, two or three times in your lifetime. Like, it's just like the Rockies, I don't know if they'll ever get there. Like, I seriously have no, like, for the Nuggets, it's like, okay, one day they'll get there. You know, we all knew it was going to happen one day. The Rockies?
Sell the team. Sell the team. Sell the team.
Sell the team. Sell the team. Give them to the Cronkies and let the Cronkies just own Denver because they're obviously doing something right.
Magic. I think my high school has a better chance of winning a championship than the Rockies next.
Well, and that's saying something because you went to Overland.
That's saying something because I went to Overland.
Their baseball team was bad.
Yeah.
There's also an interesting stat saying that Colorado's the only state to have the Super Bowl, NBA championship, and Stanley Cup won in recent years.
In like the last decade?
Yeah, no other state has won all three in this.
Dude, come on. People, I'm not telling you to come to Colorado, but Colorado is awesome.
Is the place to be.
It's the place to be. It's popping right now. And we all absolutely love living here. The sports life has been amazing. And
unless you're the Rockies.
Yeah. Let's go Rockies. Turn your season around. But,
please.
That's kind of been all for us today. I really enjoyable show. We found some things outside of the Nuggets to talk about. But again, I'm Jack Jones here with Gordon, Tariq, and Estelle. And this has been the best damn sports show, period. Brought to you by GoMyEye.com. Have the best day you possibly can.